So when Brad and I got married, Brad, who was leading worship, that's my husband, very talented man, right? I got very lucky. He's wonderful, yes. So when we got married, we decided to do, I feel like a pretty typical thing of like, okay, well, we're going to wait a year before we start trying to have kids. So we have, you know, that year to really connect and grow together and be just a couple before we add more to it. Surprise, we got way more than a year. We didn't realize that it would take us a bit more than we thought. But in 2014, we decided to start trying. And then a month passed, and then another, and another, and then a year. And meanwhile, all around us, it felt like everyone we knew was getting pregnant. Like, every time Brad would be like, hey, I heard some news, I'd be like, they're pregnant. Even if it was totally ridiculous. Like, I think one time my mom was like, oh, I've got news for you guys. I'm like, if she tells us she's pregnant. Not possible, but you know, miracles happen. So in 2016, Brad was on the worship team, and so we got invited to go up to the Foursquare Coastland Leaders Retreat at Homewood. And one of the messages was, this year, God is going to fulfill a promise that he's given you. He's going to fulfill the desires of your heart. And so at the end, I went up and was like, and asked for prayer, because God had given me such a desire to be a mom. And it wasn't happening. So I went up for a prayer, and Andy Faulkner ended up being there. And if you guys know her, she has a huge heart for praying for babies, for expecting mothers, for barren women. So she actually prayed with me and prayed. I believe Brad, she prayed for both of us, I believe. And then she promised that she would continue to pray faithfully for us. And so she did. And we left that retreat feeling a renewed sense of hope and peace and comfort. And then more time passed and still no baby. And we saw specialists and we found out Brad, totally clear, nothing wrong with him. Everything was fine. It was me. Something was wrong with me. And it was a few little things that should have made it hard to get pregnant, but not impossible. But for whatever reason, it just wasn't happening. And so I hit some of my lowest lows during that point. I was frustrated. I was heartbroken. I was angry at God. If God was good and he wanted us to have the desires and he gave me this desire to be a mom, why was he not letting it happen? Was I being punished? Was he angry at me? I had all these questions and doubts. And then more time passed. And I remember sitting in Brad's parents' backyard in 2018, almost exactly 4 years from when we started trying. And it was a family event, I think it was a dinner, and we had just eaten. Brad was sitting at the table with me, and he was playing the guitar, singing worship music. And I was holding our nephew, who was about 5 months at the time. A few other people, I think, were still at the table. But most people were, like, going cleaning up after, you know, the after-dinner cleanup, getting kids ready for bed. So there was just a few of us there. And I remember Brad, listening to Brad play worship music, cuddling this baby that wasn't mine. And I just wept because I was mourning this picture I had in my mind of this being our future, of sitting around the table with our kids, worshiping God together. And in that moment, I realized, well, maybe this isn't what God has for us. Maybe we wouldn't get the baby that I wanted, but God knew exactly what we needed in our lives. And I knew, and that God, he had a plan for our lives. And whatever that looked like, you know, that's his plan. And so that was really the first step. Oops, sorry. No. In my journey of healing and acceptance. And God was faithful. He was always there in a song that I really, the lyrics just hit exactly what I needed to hear. Or a Bible verse, the exact same thing, exactly what I needed to hear. or a friend reaching out to me. That, like, there were times where people would reach out to me that I hadn't heard from in so long, and they'd be like, hey, I'm thinking about you. I'm praying for you. You're on my heart. You're on my mind. And, like, that's God putting me on their heart. It's not coincidences. There's no coincidences with God. So, you know, God was always there, and he helped me reach a point of complete peace and acceptance of whatever he had for us, baby or not. I knew his plan was greater and more incredible than anything I could picture for it, anything I can imagine. And so he was faithful even when I wasn't. And we've seen that over and over again in this series that Pastor Lizzie and Pastor Tyler have been preaching, right? Again and again, Israel turns away from God. They suffer, and then they go, God, help us. And what does God do? Every time, he helps them. Can you think of anyone in your life that you could turn away from again and again and again? And then if you went back to them, they'd be like, open arms, yes. That's hard. Not many humans could do that, right? What a loving God we have. So I want to jump into some scripture. So we're reading from Matthew 26, 69 to 75, which Jesus had just been arrested. He'd gone before a few people, but his disciples had kind of scattered a little bit. And we're going to pick up with Peter. And in 69, it says, I'm reading for the NIV, just in case anyone wants to follow along in the same version. So now Peter was sitting in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. You were also with Jesus of Galilee, she said. But he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. Then he went out to the gateway, there where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again with an oath. I don't know the man. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away. Then he began to call down curses and swore to them, I don't know the man. Immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. Now let's put ourselves in Peter's shoes. He had spent 3 or so years traveling with Jesus. He had seen incredible miracles, people brought back to life. Lame, walking, blind, seeing, like incredible miracles. He'd heard Jesus' words directly from his mouth. He even walked on water. And this man, Jesus, he is the Messiah they had been waiting for. And the Jewish people believed that the Messiah was going to come and free them from their Gentile oppressors. So if this is who Jesus was, if he died, how would he fulfill these prophecies that Peter had heard his entire life? This was a hard time for Peter. He was scared and unsure. And if he admitted that he knew Jesus and followed him, would he be killed too? So what was his response? He denied Jesus. Not once, not twice, but 3 times. And honestly, I can't say I would do anything different. I don't know if I would. In that situation, I'm really not sure. So what do you do when things aren't going the way you expected, when life's not the way you want it to be? I continue to come to church, to volunteer, to stay involved on Sundays. But if you looked inside, I was spiritually dead in that time of not being able to get pregnant, going through all that stuff. I was putting on a good face, but that was it. It was just surface level. And then through the week, I did anything I could to try and keep my mind off my problems. I tried to avoid pregnant people and babies. I wanted to drink all the time and drown my sorrows. But thankfully, by the grace of God and Brad gently discouraging me, I didn't turn to alcohol. I may not have said I didn't know Jesus vocally, but I definitely wasn't living a life in a way that fully acknowledged God in my life. So let's look at what happens with Peter. Jesus returned, he raised from the dead, and he's appeared before his disciples. And we're going to join the story here, where Peter has gone back to fishing, to the place he was before Jesus called him. And Jesus appears on the land and he calls them to come and have breakfast with him. And so in John 21, 15 to 17, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands. Someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." This probably isn't the first interaction between Jesus and Peter since the denial, but it's the and then Jesus' death and resurrection, but it's the first one that we have recorded. But think of it, the first time Peter comes face to face with Jesus. The excitement, "Jesus is alive." The shame, "I denied him." The fear, "Is Jesus going to be mad?" And then Jesus asks him this question, "Do you love me?" And it's no coincidence that Jesus asks him three times. Three times he denied, and now three times he gets to say, "I love you." What a moment of redemption for Peter. And in that moment, it must have felt bad. Like, "Jesus, why do you keep asking me this? I said yes, and I love you." But Jesus wasn't doing it in a negative way, I don't think. Three times Peter said no, and now three times he gets to say yes. And what happens to Peter from here? He becomes one of the most influential people in the growth of the early church. He was the leader of the believers in Jerusalem. He performed miracles. He spread the news of Jesus, and ultimately he died, not just for his faith, but for refusing to deny what he saw with his own eyes. And he was by no means perfect. He still made mistakes, but God used him in incredible ways. So when you're going through tough times, a saying that often floats around is, "God never gives you more than you can handle." And I know it's meant well, and I know I've used it in the past, but I think there's two parts of it like that are not great, because God isn't giving you hard times. We live in a broken world, and we have an enemy that is working against us. So he's not giving you the hard times. He's not giving you things. And second part, if we never got more than we could handle, then why would we ever need God? So coming out of the other side of hard times has always made my faith stronger and ultimately brought me closer to God. When you are stripped down to the point where you have nothing left and all you can do is cling to God or walk away, and then God comes through for you, that's powerful. That's life-changing. And that's what I hope all of you have experienced or will experience in your life. I'm not saying I want you to go through hard times, but Jesus himself said in John 16:33, "In this world, you will have trouble." Not you might, you could. You will have trouble. "But take heart, I have overcome the world." Hard times will come. And you have a chance to respond like Peter with, "I don't love you, I don't know you, I don't know you, I don't know you." Or, "I love you, I love you, I love you." And it's easy to say, "Oh, I love and I trust God when things are good." But what about when they aren't? Church, here's the great news. Even if you respond, "I don't know you," God does not go anywhere. He's still there waiting for his precious child to come back to him. We only need to repent and turn back to him, and he is waiting with open arms because he is faithful even when we aren't. So where are you today? Are things going well? Is God the center of your life and things are exactly where he expected them to be? That's awesome. In this time, dig into your relationship with God. Make sure you have that firm foundation in Him. Read the Bible, pray, listen to worship music. Make note of where God is being faithful in your life. And I encourage you to write it down because it's easy to forget the good things when the hard times come. And I know if, like we've already talked about, if I know anything, hard times will come. Life's not always good. Are you in the midst of a struggle right now? Is life dark for you? Here are some things that helped me. Look back to when God has been faithful in your life before. This is where writing things down is very helpful. Maybe it's an unexplained peace when you felt absolute hopelessness. Maybe it's a time where He provided for you that was totally unexpected. Ask God to remind you where He has been faithful before. 2, talk to people about it. Isolation is the worst thing when we are going through tough times. It is when we are in isolation that the enemy can sneak into our minds and start filling it with thoughts that are harmful. Those doubts I had about God's goodness in my hard times, the enemy loves stoking those fires. Maybe God doesn't love you. Maybe you're completely alone in this. You've done something wrong. So make sure that you stay connected with other believers. We have a wonderful church here full of people that love you, even if they don't know you. The wonderful thing about this church is there are people that love you without even knowing you, and they would love to come alongside you and pray for you. So find friends, talk to a pastor, other church members, whoever it is. I know when we were struggling to get pregnant, I had a whole church of people behind me praying for us, and just knowing that is such a comfort. And 3, keep praising the Lord. Ask God to show you things in your life that you can be thankful for and thank Him for them. You have a roof over your head. You have food in your cupboards. You have air in your lungs. There's always things to be grateful for. Sometimes you just have to take a step back and look for them. It can be so easy to focus on the negative, especially when it's right there. That's all you see. But if you step back, then it's not right there. You can see. And it's like, if you know some hymns, I love this one. It's like the hymn says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Try to take your eyes off the negative, even for a second. I know it's hard. It's so hard when it feels like that's all there is. But it's not. There's more. And finally, if you don't know God, if you don't have a relationship, He's still there. He's working in your life. Even if you aren't aware of it right now, someday you'll be able to look back and see the times He was doing things you weren't even aware of. That's what I got for you guys today. That feels like that went really quick. So, we're going to have time of prayer after worship, but let's enjoy this worship song, and then, take it over, Brad.